Welcome to Law Subscribed. This is your dedicated news source for all things subscriptions and the law. My name is Matthew Kerbis. I'm the subscription attorney, and I believe subscriptions can help bridge the access to justice gap and incentivize attorneys to modernize and scale their practice like never before. In this episode, I interview Caroline Reagan. Caroline is the founder of Lumos Marketplace. Caroline's on a mission to help lawyers find the right technology for their practice. You know, I talk a lot about technology on this podcast, but I only know what I know, so I thought it made sense to introduce you to a place you can go to do more research on finding the right technology solution for you. Some technology solutions I know are great are my sponsors, who I'd like to thank, 650 and Gavel. Links to both in the show notes and more on them later. You could sign up for my waitlist for my subscription seminar at subscriptionseminar.com. Please share this podcast with someone you know who would be interested in it. This podcast is for educational and entertainment purposes only, and nothing said is legal, ethical, or financial advice. Without further delay, here's the episode. Caroline Reagan, welcome to Law Subscribed. How about you go ahead and introduce yourself to our listeners?
For sure. So I'm Caroline. I'm the founder of Lumos Marketplace. So what we do is we help law firms find the right technology to use, specifically small law firms, but not just the right technology. We help them basically source all their providers that you need to run a firm. So everything from court reporters to insurance to a practice management system to how to go about recruiting your full-time paralegals, and then how to have systems in place for when you need to bring a paralegal on for a really busy file and everything in between. And yeah, so we have a free, it's basically a directory. You can go online and you can look at all these different vendors. You can filter by category, by price. And as some people know, there's been thousands of products that have come to market in the last 5 years for law firms. So there are actually also a lot of quite interesting, innovative products coming to market. So yeah, there's everything from your standard bread and butter there to some really interesting, innovative stuff.
Yeah, and I think there's a huge need for that, right? And I'm a recent solo. March of 2022 is when I went solo, and I had the podcast, of course, before I went solo. But finding those tech solutions ended up being it took a lot of time. And for me, even going to the ABA Tech Show, you know, in Chicago, you know, for years to think about and learn about new solutions. And so I think there's a massive market need for lawyers to do this. And I see a mass migration in the future of lawyers at big law wanting to start their own practices after they realize it's not worth however much they're paying them. They want to do it their own way. And so what I find is really interesting about your platform compared to some other sort of, you know, maybe I don't know if you'd consider them competitors in your space, but like, you know, where you can go and look at a marketplace of other things, is that you're not just doing the legal tech side of it. It sounds like you're also doing the how to run your business side of it. So I'd like to know a little bit more about why you made that decision and what sort of vendors are on your platform, you know, that help lawyers, not just with the legal tech side, but with the here's how to run a business, which I guess it's all technology these days. So I guess you could, I don't know, do you define that differently from legal tech would be another question in there.
I do sort of think of it differently in my head, but whether that actually matters or affects how you run your practice, not really, because there's so much. I wish we could all just use the same terminology, and that's half the learning curve right there. But yeah, I do think of legal tech as the software that's built specifically for law firms. However, there is a lot, especially with small firms, there is a lot of software that's not specifically for the legal industry that you're going to use, like, you know, just stuff made by Google or project management systems like Asana, which is a task manager. So yeah, and then like, it would be nice to use the same terminology, because even being able to communicate with a law firm and use the term CRM and have them know that, oh, that's a way that you can measure how many of your client consultations have converted. Mm-hmm. That's something that you have to educate them on. And whether that's legal tech or not doesn't really matter. So,
and then just other marketplaces too, it sounds like. So when you mentioned the getting a paralegal for just like a one-time project type thing, like I know when I used to work at other law firms, sometimes there was a question of, do we need to hire another paralegal full-time? You know, what is another opportunity for that? You know, you have marketplaces like lawclerk.legal, you know, free sponsorship there, I guess, but that's for freelance lawyers, right? You know, Law Clerk, if you want to sponsor the show, reach out at lawsubscribe.com. But like, are there marketplaces like that for paralegals? Like, I'm curious to know. I guess I could just go on your website, speaking of product placement, lumosmarketplace.com, and like take a look and do a search myself. But since I have the founder here, you know, like any, like off the top
so
of my head.
So there's Law Trades is one. Mm-hmm. And then the other one is Flex Legal Network, which helps you find lawyers as well as paralegals to help on a busy file. But I think one thing that we take even further with those is like, that's a marketplace, but then you still have to do the work of interviewing, checking, do you like this person? Can they jump on this file? Do they have the experience? So that's essentially, you could call it legal operations. And what small firms I think really value is some like holistic advice, or even having a part-time person basically step in and do your, you can call it legal operations, but all these little side tasks that if you don't have, you either have someone that really experienced doing them, which is normally the owner of the firm, or you it's really hard to delegate those tasks to, or like the management of all these ongoing tasks, I should say, to employees sometimes. I experienced that in my own business. So yeah, so having like a contract sort of legal operations or someone that can just step in, which is sort of consulting, is very valuable.
Mm-hmm. So let's talk about the offerings then of Lumos Marketplace. You know, obviously there's the marketplace where attorneys could go, as I understand it, and correct me if I'm wrong, but for free, and search for vendors that help them solve whatever sort of problem their firm needs, right? So there's that aspect of it. Do I have that right?
Yeah, that's right. So that marketplace is completely free for law firms, free forever. It's not like a free trial. And so you can think of it as a directory of everything you need to run your firm. And we have quick summaries of each. So, and you can filter by category. And so we've broken up the categories into the tasks that you're really trying to accomplish. So one would be drafting and review of documents. And then one of the subcategories of that is document automation software, because that would be a common software. So the most common categories you're going to look at are document automation, and then practice management is a huge one, which we've actually called case management software. Those are used interchangeably, which I think is just a one terminology to know. So case management and practice management are used quite interchangeably. And because practice management for anyone newly going solo, which is a lot of our clientele, is going to be the first thing you have to adopt. Like very few firms practice without a practice management. Mm-hmm. And so you're picking at that point between Clio, Leap. And again, these are whoever I miss, I'm going to feel bad for right now, but Leap, ActionStep, Clio, Cosmolex, Matters Cloud, App for Legal. So those are all different ones. And there's a lot in that space. And then some people will go with PC Law, but PC Law is very outdated. However, people keep going with it because that's what their previous lawyer worked with. I realize I went a bit off track there, but so that's your practice management. And then we are actually working on filling this one out, but a huge part of obviously your law firm is finding a legal bookkeeper. And I remember I have a friend who, when she newly went solo, that was one of her biggest challenges, was she went with PC Law, and then she wanted her bookkeeper to be able to access her trust accounts to figure everything out. And you can't do that on PC Law because it's not cloud-based. So then you have to pay for migration. And yeah, so point is, we have a list of legal accountants and bookkeepers on there. And then the other categories, so one big one is litigation, which is going to be legal research. So memos or legal research above and beyond just LexisNexis. Like one really great one that is in the community right now is Alexi, which will do memos with AI. And I believe they're doing quite well. So I would check them out. And yeah, I think that's a good summary. We also, the other big section is BD. So marketing agencies that have focused specifically on law firms, which are actually quite rare to find. And then the other part of BD that I'm really excited about is, and we haven't released this yet, but we're going to be releasing guides basically for specific practice areas. And they're going to be guides on not necessarily marketing as in like releasing blogs or running ads, but which conferences to attend or a list of associations to make yourself known in, because I think that's the sort of smart networking that actually gets you, not right away, but that's real BD. So, and it's gonna be very specific depending on what practice areas. Like if you're a corporate lawyer and you work with founders a lot, and that's one of my favorite ones, because as a founder, I know the best events to go to where you'll actually find not, like I can tell you the conference to go to that is full of actual founders instead of very commercial and is gonna have a ton of people there and you're gonna have to still seek out the founders. So yeah, we'll give you lists of conferences to go to where founders would be and stuff like that.
Yeah, and just for the listeners who aren't sure what the abbreviation is, PD as in professional development, right? I just want to make sure that's
BD,
clear.
Sorry, business development.
Business as development.
In finding clients, like acquiring clients.
Okay, all right, good. Okay, so because that is sort of what it sounded like when you were saying it. It sounded more like on the business development. Okay, so good. I'm glad we cleared that up. Yeah, and that is another thing that I've noticed that other, you know, marketplaces aren't looking at is like, because you could have all the tech, right? But if you're not actually, you know, bringing in clients. You know, this is why I've had a lawyer coach. This is why I've had a couple of, like, a lawyer coach and a lawyer consultant on my podcast, just because, you know, it doesn't matter. You could have the subscription model. You could have all the great legal tech. But if you can't bring in business, you're not going to thrive and survive as a law firm. So it's really cool that that's a part of what you're offering to the attorneys who are coming on there. So then let's say, you know, let's say I'm a law firm and I found a really cool vendor on Lumos Marketplace, but then, you know, I don't know about how to integrate or, you know, bring on that vendor with my law firm. Is there something else at Lumos Marketplace that you all are doing to help the law firms who cross that threshold?
Not really, actually, but we would answer questions, but we just don't normally have questions on that because we let the vendors handle their own onboarding. Mm-hmm. And so we don't normally get much questions around them.
Then what about the consulting package thing that you offer? What is that around?
Yeah, so consulting, like I'm just saying, they do, once we suggest a vendor to them, we rarely have questions on how to onboard them because the vendor will normally answer all those questions. Mm-hmm. But yeah, we will do consulting. So we'll give free half an hour advice, and that's very dependent on your needs. Like, because everyone might be, if you're at the start, you're going to be picking a practice management, or you might be start of your business development, starting to acquire clients and figure out what partnerships you should work on. Or it could be like, how can we fix something? And then we will just create a consulting package. And again, I haven't done this yet, but I think we will switch that, inspired by Matthew, to a subscription model. So instead of billing, because right now we would just charge $200 an hour and have a package. It's normally going to be 10 hours. But I think we're going to actually start doing that on a subscription basis. So maybe you could advise me on that.
Maybe. So like reframing, I guess, then my earlier question, it would be like, let's say I'm a very busy, you know, owner or manager of a small law firm. I don't necessarily have the time to go on and search Lumos Marketplace myself, but then I could hire, you know, the marketplace, you know, Lumos Marketplace to consult to like just sort of help me guide along that process in making my decision. Is that like what the consulting is around? Like how does that work? I'm still trying to figure out like where that fits in, where that slots in.
Yeah. So the best thing is for us to work with your administrative assistants, your office manager, and essentially train your employees. And what we'll do is we base it a lot around, we want this, like in those 10 hours, we're going to create systems that last longer than those 10 hours. So we use a system called Thinkific, and we work with your team to create courses based on what we're teaching you. Like we'll teach the office manager something and we'll say, hey, you should look at these three areas. And then they're going to learn how to do that. And then we're going to work with them to, we record a mini course. It's essentially just recording our sessions with them, but using this program called Thinkific, it makes it really easy for other people to watch it and learn it because it's a course. And then that means that they can revisit it anytime. So they, when a new person is onboarded, and that happens a lot with paralegals and or bringing on someone for a specific assignment, that is what causes a lot of the inefficiencies. So basically we just systemize it so they can go back and look at it.
Okay.
It'll teach them how to essentially source vendors and then give them specifics for each category. Like if they're looking at a marketing agency, you want to you want to know what to look for. So if it's SEO, then you want to be careful on how much you spend because the return on investment is really not guaranteed. Or you want to find a marketing agency that is specifically to legal. Or if it's practice management, we tell them, you know, these are the features that are just a given. Like you have to make sure that they have reports that are compliant with, if you're in Canada, Canadian Law Society. But then depending on what you want as a firm, all these, there's all these different vendors that have these extras. So what you're going to choose is based on the extras and the price, but they have to have these basics. So we just give them specifics of what to look for in each area.
When I went solo, I pivoted from mostly litigation to a transactional-only practice. I did not have a database of documents to automate. That's why a business and employment legal document database and automation tool like 650 is super useful. I can rely on the quality of the documents in 650's database since they're putting excellent legal minds to work curating and updating their documents and automations over time. When you're not billing by the hour, outsourcing and efficiency matters, and 650 can help you scale your practice to get high-quality documents drafted in less time. Use the code LAWSUBSCRIBED at 650.com and when being onboarded to get 10% off. If you're not a business and employment attorney, or you have your own documents that you'd prefer to use, then my next sponsor, Gavel, is the automation tool for you. Gavel allows you to build shareable, client-facing workflow and document automations. In other words, Gavel helps you create a legal practice where attorneys can monetize the value they bring clients in productized form at scale via subscriptions and flat fees. Use the code LAWSUBSCRIBED at gavel.io to get 10% off an annual subscription. There's no one right way to automate and scale your practice, but with one or both of my sponsors, 650 and Gavel, you can take your subscription law firm to the next level. Links to both in the show notes. Now back to the show.
Okay. All right, got it. And something that I want to go a little bit more in depth on from our pre-interview call, which we didn't get a chance to there, is these courses that you mentioned. So is that sort of related to what you were just talking about? Is that more on the product roadmap of where Lumos Marketplace is going? Or is that something that you're offering right now? Tell me a little bit more about that.
Yeah, so we have two courses right now. Well, we'll have three in just at the end this week. So one is on client portals, which actually I know you are familiar with, or your business model is very compatible with because you charge on a subscription basis. And so client portals are sometimes included in a practice management system, or sometimes you can also sign up for your own. So like Moxo has one, Rally Legal has one, there's Setify. And so they all have little differences, but it allows the client to input their own information and the client will feel as if that is through your website because you'll integrate your client portal into your website. So the client comes to your website, they say, oh, I want an estate planning document. And then they'll click a button and it leads them to this form where they input their all their information and asks them all the questions for their estate planning document. But it's quite detailed because it has conditional logic in it. And at that point, they're actually using the software, although a lot of these companies will white label it so that it has a law firm's logo on it and it still feels like you're using that law firm's website. And then all that information will go in. And it might automatically generate a document that you can then further, like the lawyer would then further edit. So that's a client portal. That's one of our courses. The other one is more of a Q&A. And these are all accredited. So you can take them to get your CPD credits, by the way.
Because CPD is a term of art for Canadian attorneys, right?
Yeah. This one's.
Because we call it CLE in the U.S., continuing legal education. So I'm aware of that difference. And actually, you know, Clio is a Canadian company originally, right? And they're one of the biggest, you know, client portals ever. So we love Canada here in the U.S., especially Michael Bublé, and a number of other actors and artists. But so my question for you on that, though, is if it's accredited in Canada, do you also know, is it an accredited CLE in the U.S. or is it right now it's just Canada?
No, it depends on the state. We have it accredited in some states.
Okay.
So we get emails all the time. Hey, you've been accredited. So yeah, I just have to let you know.
Okay.
Depending on your state. And then the other ones on tech in the immigration space specifically. So that one, we have an immigration lawyer talking. We have the founder of an immigration software. And then we also have someone who's focused on startup visas. So yeah, that's basically tech and immigration in one course. And then our third that's coming out soon is going to be on practice management, which will honestly be the most, which will be a really useful one because that's a big decision. So we're just going to, we're going to help people get through, make sure they compare the right practice management systems and give them a guide. And that's a really good one to just, like, if you purchase that course, just give it to your office manager or whoever would make that decision.
Mm-hmm. And I'm really glad you brought up the client portals again, because that was a question that I wanted to ask you and I forgot about it. You know, you mentioned, you know, my practice, and of course, you know, I was on your podcast, so you know that I actually don't use a legal tech solution for my client portal. Like, I use a different solution. So again, this kind of comes down to, how do you even define legal tech? Like, you know, like you sort of mentioned earlier, you know, is Google legal tech? Is Microsoft legal tech? Yeah, I mean, maybe, probably, in to the extent that lawyers use it. But when you are filtering for what goes on the Lumos marketplace, you know, would, like, my client tech solution, which is not, or my client portal solution, which is not pitched or sold as legal tech, you know, would that ever be able to end up on your platform? It could be used for legal tech, but, like, how does that selection work? Could any vendor just apply to be on Lumos marketplace and you'll make that determination at that time? Or do they have to be, do they have to self-define as, like, legal tech?
So original, like, the first vendors we set about working with to add were more specifically legal tech, but no, they I definitely will include whatever is best for your law firm. And so we are adding the not specifically legal ones now.
And
what do you use for your system again?
So I use SweetDash, and I think that, and they're a white label client portal or company that also is used by a number of small doctor offices and medical practices, which is why and they have met sort of HIPAA compliance security measures, which is really important as an attorney to be able to maintain that attorney-client privilege with secure communications, much, much better than email, right? Like, in my opinion, if you're emailing with your clients about something that's supposed to be confidential or privileged, you're probably committing malpractice. Like, we haven't seen any like actual, you know, insurance claims around that type of thing, at least not as far as I'm aware. But a password-protected client portal at a minimum is, like, already so much better than just emailing with your clients. So I'd wonder if it's even worth reaching out to them or finding out, you know, if, like,
I will definitely reach out to SweetDash.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. And I'll probably have to start including my affiliate link with SweetDash. So if people sign up with my affiliate link,
I'll really should
have to add that to the show notes. So all right, anything else specific about the business, the marketplace that you want to talk about while I have you?
Oh, there's so much. Well, I think it's really interesting even to just talk about the tech stack you're using, like, briefly, if you wanted to mention that.
You mean like how I'm using
SweetDash?
I'm using SweetDash for one. I'm using Formula for my document automation and document database. Formula, which is very specific to the state of Illinois, right? So that's the Illinois Institute of Continuing Legal Education's document automation and database combined for really general practitioners. I in all the research that I did out there when I was starting my own law practice, of which document automation is an absolute must if you're going to have an efficient subscription-based law practice, that they were the only one that was good for the general practitioner that I found. It just so happens to be state-specific to my state. So I don't know if there's another platform out there that does that as affordably as Formula does. But I do know that there are a lot of document databases for lawyers who are maybe leaving a firm, starting on their own, and they're not leaving with all the documents. Like, they can't take it with them. That's firm proprietary, you know, information. So you need one of those, and you need a document automation tool. I just so happen to find one that was combined.
Yeah, so that's like a simple thing that we would point out to the office manager or whoever's looking is, you know, when you're looking at document automation, check whether it has precedence included or not. And it's not even, it's up to them whether they want that included, but it's just something to look for.
And then payment processing too is another really important one, and making sure that all that is automated, especially as a subscription attorney.
Do you use LawPay?
I use Stripe. Because I'm also, at least at this point, I'm not taking payments in advance that are not earned fees. I'm only taking payments in advance that are earned fees. And every state, every jurisdiction has their own ethical rules around what is and isn't an earned fee. and how much and how little is reasonable in light of that. And unfortunately, there's even in Illinois, there's not a lot on this because it's still very much innovating in the space. And so I don't need a LawPay to take the funds without the processing payment to put in a trust account, because at least at this time in my practice, I'm not taking large sums of money ahead of time. And it's not a, my model is not a retainer model where I'm billing against a prepayment. It's when a client who's on a subscription with me is paying the subscription, that fee is earned. If I'm doing work for them, like estate planning, I do the work up to a point, and when it's basically done, except for the signing, in order for them to access the final documents, they sign into their client portal and they have to pay the invoice for the services completed, that flat fee, and then they get access to the documents to download and follow the instructions to sign, because I'm offering really below market cost on the estate planning. And the way I'm able to do that is I'm not showing up in person, you know, for the signing. I'm giving them detailed instructions on how to do that. But in order for them to access those documents, they pay me at that time. So they pay me, I get the documents. I don't need to hold that type of money in a client trust fund because I've done the work.
Mm-hmm.
The work is done. And so I'm able to use a Stripe because I'm not taking money in advance for work that's going to be done. I may change that in the future, and I may have to change my provider or use LawPay, or Gravity Legal is another one, to not give them exclusive mention here, you know, that does something like that.
It's okay. They're all going to get sponsorship.
I know. But if one of them wants to be the official sponsor of Law Subscribed, I'm just putting that out there. but absolutely, credit card payments and automated, you know, payment processors like a Stripe are super important to this, to the success of a modern, innovative law firm.
Can you go over your three subscription models so we have context?
My three subscription models. So it's essentially, I have three buckets, right? I have the everyday person, the individual. I have freelancers, and I have business owners. And so everyday people, the subscriptions start at $20 a month. But what's really nice about that is if you are a freelancer or a small business owner and you want to give me a test ride before you subscribe to the higher level, you could really start out at the $20 a month level and get a taste. I don't do free consultations, but it's only $20 a month to try me out. No other lawyer could say that.
Okay, got it. Yeah, no, that note about Stripe and why you can use it because you've already done the work is actually key, because I'm sure there's a lot of firms that need to, like, that have, you just have to think that through. And then that extra having to think it through just makes you say, oh, why don't we just do it another way? But that's good too.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
I thought that through.
So let's wrap this up then with the story of how you became a founder and why you started Lumos Marketplace. Tell us that story.
For sure. So I wasn't someone who was born wanting to be a lawyer, but I did go to law school. So before I was in law school, I was really passionate about business. I mean, I still am, just the power of business. And then I did work in a law firm for a bit. I should say volunteer. This was before I went to law school. It was in immigration. And so I saw the inefficiencies in that, with all of the information being public information, but then you're charged quite a lot of money for a consultation, whether you can come to Canada. And also I became so passionate about that because there's so much marketing in immigration, like come to Canada, selling the dream. And so to charge someone for initial client consultation, that just got to me. So, and then I had no idea even what code was at this moment, but eventually I went to law school, and then I realized, you know, the easiest way to fix this is not through business, it's through technology. So I started getting into technology, and then I worked for another legal tech company, official legal tech in the UK. They do document automation for estate planning, so wills, stuff like that, with a client portal. And I worked on that. I worked on bringing that to Canada. And at that time I was basically into legal tech before legal tech was cool. Now it's pretty cool. There's lots of people think it's cool. So yeah, after that, there was product after product coming to market, and that's still happening. They're coming to market for very specific use cases, very niche use cases. And some of them work, but it's also a problem where if you're a solo lawyer or like anywhere beneath five people, you can't have subscriptions to, it would be nice, but you can't have 20 different subscriptions for every niche use case, right? They need to consolidate. And also just even for me, I couldn't keep track of them all. And I was thinking, if I'm a lawyer, like, or if I have actually another business to run and I don't just do this for fun, because I was doing it for fun at the moment, there's no way I could look at these. So that's where, that's when marketplaces started popping up. And now there's a few different marketplaces. There's some focused on the big firms. They also provide a private cloud. So you can have, you know, for I'm sure anyone listening knows what I'm talking about. And then we're focused on small firms and there's stuff in between. But that was the long story of why there's legal tech marketplaces nowadays.
And why specifically, is there a reason that you thought you could do it better? Like, what's your mission as an entrepreneur, like very specifically?
Okay, honestly, well, there's two answers to that question.
Give them both. I could keep them both in or I could edit one out. It's up to you.
No. Right now, I'm really passionate about actually education and knowledge sharing side of it. I think knowledge is the future biggest economy industry, because there's so much information. And now what we're paying for is curated information that we can actually trust. And within a business, like whether it's a firm or not, my small business or a small firm, even if you have 5 employees, just the value of all being on the same page, like that is half of the business struggle. So that's why I'm so passionate about education now. And so I'm taking, yes, marketplaces are product, but our biggest value is the education that we create that's accredited so you can get your CPD hours at the same time. So yeah, that's what I see as the most valuable thing I'm working on.
No, I'm glad I pushed you on that, because I think I just got the quote of the show from you about how curated information is stuff we could actually trust. That's what people are willing to pay for these days, and there's a huge market opportunity there. Mm-hmm. So, and another thing I just wanted to note from your story of why you ended up starting your own business is it didn't take long for me when I joined a law firm to realize the inefficiencies of practicing law, right? Which is one of the reasons why I started Law Subscribed. I saw the subscription model as a way to align incentives, right? Because if you're billing by the hour, you have no reason to create efficiencies in a law practice. You have every reason to keep it obscure and opaque and charge a lot of money for it, because that's how you make money. So by adopting legal tech and adopting business models like the subscription model, law firms can move away from those inefficiencies and actually become really good for the business owners and for the society that they serve.
No, I love how you actually view subscription model as a way to align incentives. I love that. I was always passionate about incentives of being aligned, but I normally think of it between business owner and employees. And I've always felt it's so important, like, because if I wasn't incentivizing someone and then I wanted them to work harder, I would actually be thinking in my head, like, why are you working harder? Like, you shouldn't be. If you are, you're being silly. So yeah. Anyway, I've been passionate about incentives being aligned, but I didn't really figure out, it never clued into me that subscription model could help you incentivize, like align incentives with your clients.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Well, with that, I'll ask you the last question I ask every single guest, and that is a hot dog a sandwich and why?
Mm-hmm. Hot dog is not a sandwich, I don't think.
Why?
And why? Because it doesn't have vegetables, which is such a bad answer, but I really like vegetables.
Okay, so it's a plain hot dog isn't a sandwich, but what if you throw vegetables on a hot dog? Does that make it a sandwich?
Yeah, for sure.
Okay, you heard it here first. You could transition a hot dog from a not sandwich to a sandwich by adding vegetables. Caroline Reagan, thank you so much for coming on the podcast, Law Subscribed. If my listeners want to follow up with you or learn more about Lumos Marketplace, obviously all the links in the description, but go ahead and tell them where to best reach out to you.
Oh, okay. I'm Caroline Reagan, but it's better to reach out probably on Instagram, which is Lumos Marketplace, or our website. My email, caroline@lumosmarketplace.com, but our website is www.lumosmarketplace.com, and that's where you can find the free marketplace.
All right. Thank you so much for coming on the show.
Thank you.
Thanks again to 650 and Gavel for sponsoring this show. The best way for others to discover this show is for you to share it with someone you think would find value from it. Follow me on LinkedIn, since that's where I'm most active on social media, and click the bell towards the top right of my profile to get notified about all of my posts about this podcast and everything else I think is valuable for you to see. To get in touch, message me on LinkedIn or email kurbis@lawsubscribed.com. All links are in the show notes. Until next time, this is Matthew Kurbis with Law Subscribed.